Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Many years ago, I was a character witness in a trial for a former student. She had been accused of shoplifting. She was a fun-loving and loud personality with wild, curly hair. But on the day of her trial, I hardly recognized her. Her hair was pulled back. She had no makeup on. She wore a black cardigan sweater over a white blouse. And I still remember seeing her in the courtroom. It was literally like night and day, a contrast from loud to soft, from colorful to black and white. I remember thinking, okay then, I guess she wanted to present as a quiet persona that day. Because she was in my religion class, I had been asked to be a character witness to testify that she was a good person. And she was. I could speak my truth and testify to the good Christian character I experienced for 1 hour each day. In today's gospel, we hear of the witness of John, the first character witness par excellence of Jesus. Jesus was not on trial yet, but we hear in this gospel that John had a role. He was sent by God to testify that Jesus was the light, their way out of darkness. And John was consistent. He didn't change what he wore to fit different circumstances. He lived in the wilderness, and smelly camel hair clothing was what you got. And John made it very clear. His role was that of witness, to testify about one greater than himself. And he made it very clear because John was very popular. He was Israel's first prophet in 300 years, and people flocked to hear him. Now, the desert wilderness is a place where there are many snakes, but few people. In a place where you could die if you got lost between water holes. And yet, the people came. People came from Jerusalem, the big city, a place where there were lots of excitement and plenty of watering holes. They came in droves to hear John preach. Repent, he cried. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And they repented, and they were baptized, and they returned to the city feeling clean and pure. For many of them, sometimes it was the first time in many years. The story of John as a witness continues through us. To be a witness is our Advent calling. It is to witness that you have come to believe in Jesus in such a way that light shines through you. There is an old saying, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I hope so. But sometimes I do sin. I fail to love as I should. Every day on the news, we hear of people being accused of various indiscretions. Accusations fly of cheating, of lying, of having done something in the past that only now comes to light. Every day, a TV camera is in someone's face. A TV camera is not here. There is no microphone or reporter that follows you throughout the day. But even though our lives seem private and uneventful, we are called to the highest standard. We are called to live as witnesses, to testify that we have come to believe Jesus. And as we see on the news, to give witness is to break silence. To witness by one's actions the life of love, the life of the Spirit of God, is to let go of what the response might be and just do it because you have to. It is to acknowledge that you cannot not testify to how you have experienced God. When you see God at work, and when you know God is with you. To be a Christian witness in this 21st century is something we probably have not given much thought to, because our lives feel so crowded just with day-to-day survival. To be a Christian witness is not easy. Giving testimony to the presence of God in our midst means risk. It's risky because others will doubt your experience of God. In the end, witness is about pointing to the truth, which is exactly what John did. He pointed to the truth that was Jesus, God in the flesh. And what others do with your witness is not yours to control. In fact, you can't. Yet sometimes witnessing God's presence can be simple, but no less deliberate. The other day, on my morning walk, I was getting ready to power walk past two workmen. It was about seven or so, and the sunlight and the fresh air and the temperature could not have been more perfect. I said, "Good morning," to the two men standing in front of the Los Angeles Water and Sanitation site. One of them said, "Isn't this morning beautiful?" And I said, "Yes, amazing." Then he said, "Have a blessed day." And I said, "God bless you." And power walked right on. Wow, I thought. He was not afraid to say, "Have a blessed day." And I felt blessed by him. It was so simple and authentic, and I saw the light in his eyes. In all my walking, day after day, I don't remember ever saying that to the few people I meet each morning. And isn't it my profession to bless people? Well, many are connected with their earbuds, and I do smile, and I do say hi, or good morning, or isn't this glorious? But from that day on, I now end my morning greeting with, "Have a blessed day." Simple, yet deliberate. Being a Christian is not a private affair. And every Christian, since the time of Jesus Christ, gets to choose how they will witness. Each generation has to face its own darkness and issues. And throughout time, human nature has had to deal with forces of evil, greed, selfishness, the toxic energy of anger, hatred, depression, the effect of lies, intolerance, and prejudice? How do we cope with it all? Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, our second reading, illuminates our high calling. And he gives us an anchor. The first thing we heard this morning in that second reading was, rejoice always. Yet how do we do that in the face of pain or sorrow, fear or anxiety? And we have taken worry, it seems, to a high art form. We focus on what is most pressing, what are the most difficult things that we face each day. Yet Paul says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And we might say, hold it right there. How can I give thanks for the suffering or death of a loved one, the cross of addiction, facing surgery, the plight of being under or unemployed, etc., etc., etc.? Well, Paul used the little word in, not for. In all things give thanks because God is in it with you. In fact, God is totally aware of our feelings and thoughts and all that we are going through. And Paul adds, may the God of peace sanctify you. May your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul gives us the greatest assurance. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Do what? Sanctify you, sustain you, guard you, strengthen you, be deeper than all that you are dealing with. Right there in it with you. So give thanks in all things because God is in all things, pulling, leading, nudging you forward. And Paul adds, let us not quench the Spirit. Witness God's presence. Witness and testify to the light by who and what you are. So remember, to witness is your Advent calling. It is to let go of what the response might be and just do it because you have to. It is to acknowledge that you cannot not testify to how you have experienced God and when you see God at work. Remember, giving testimony to the presence of God in our midst means risk. It's risky because others will doubt your experience. Witness is about pointing to the truth, which is exactly what John did. He pointed to the truth that was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. What others do with your witness is not yours to control. You can't, but do it anyway. And have a blessed day and pass it on.